Welcome to Shir and Svarno, Parshas Nitzavim. Last night, we started speaking about the Parshas HaTshuva, the section that comprises most of Perek Lamed, where the Torah describes how Klal Yisrael, if they engage in complete tshuva, right, the way the Pasuk puts it, V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, you will return on account of Hashem your God. That's the way the Svarno interprets the Pasuk. In other words, the tshuva is not being done out of self-interest. It's not just being done to avoid punishment. But the tshuva is done out of a sincere desire to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem, God's will. So ultimately that will result in Kibbutz Galuyos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring Klal Yisrael back from all of the countries of exile to Eretz Yisrael. More than that, Umal Hashem Elokecha Eslevavcha V'Yeslevav Zarecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to circumcise your heart, the heart of your children, which the Svarno says means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to open up our eyes, that we won't be misled by all kinds of things other than a recognition of the truth. In the words of the Svarno, Toaveyu Behechrich, you'll be almost compelled to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I said that the Svarno in many ways over here is echoing the idea of the Ramban, and this pasuk, where the Ramban says, "Umal Hashem Elokecha Eslevavcha V'Yeslevav Zarecha," means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at this future time, when Moshiach comes and the Jews are ingathered into Eretz Yisrael, will remove the Yetzahara from the Jewish soul. Meaning, things are going to be so clear to us, we'll be able to approach the world with such a degree of clarity, that we're not going to be misled by the Yetzahara in quite the same way that we have been misled up until this point, you know, throughout our long history. So these are tremendous promises that are articulated by the Pasuk. Continuing on, I wanted to spend tonight continuing with the Parshas HaTshuva, because there are a number of other very profound insights that the Svarno shares with us. The Pasuk says, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Zayin, V'nosan Hashem Elokecha is kol ha'olo sa'ele, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bestow all of these curses al oyevecha v'al sonecha asher idofucha. He'll bestow all of these curses on your oyevim, on your sonim, on your enemies, and on those who hate you, those who pursue you. On the surface, oyevim and sonim are really just two synonyms for the same thing, right? You know, what's an enemy? Somebody who hates us. What's somebody who hates us? An enemy, right? Sounds like it's the same thing. Comes the Svarno, and he makes the following fine distinction. Al hakamim olecha, oivim refers to those who rise up against the Jewish people in actuality. V'al hasonim bilavavam. In contrast, sonim refers to those people who hate us in their hearts, even if they haven't done anything concrete against the Jewish people. You know, you have different types of anti-Semites. You have an anti-Semite, Rachmana Litzlan, who goes and shoots up a shul. And you have an anti-Semite who would never do something like that, but on a certain level he wishes he could. You know, he has the hatred in his heart, you know, even though he doesn't translate it into actual action. But, interesting. So let's come to Radofucha for a minute. Right? We'll come to that in a minute, Be'ezus Hashem. So that's the Svarno is saying, Oivim and Sonim are both threats to the Jewish people. The guy who actually goes and shoots up the shul obviously is a threat to the Jewish people. But the guy who hates us in his heart, even if he doesn't take any action, is a threat to the Jewish people as well. V'nosan es kol ha'olo sa'ela, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish both the oivim and the sonim. In other words, there isn't going to be a significant difference between these groups of people, even though you say, you know, one of them actually actualizes it, and the other one is just, you know, thinking about it, hating people in his heart. So Yaakov asked correctly, how do you fit the last two words in the pasuk into that? Asher idofucha, those who pursued you. Now on the surface, the notion of pursuit is relevant to oivim, but not to sonim. In other words, the oivim are the ones who are actually pursuing us in a concrete kind of sense. They're the ones who are going after us, you know. They're the ones we're afraid to walk down the street when we see them coming. The sonim, okay, they're unpleasant. You know, it's never nice to know that somebody hates you, but redifa, you know, that they're running after us, they're pursuing us. So I think the answer to the question, you know, the answer to all these kind of questions is, yeah, you know, and that's exactly what the pasuk was doing. The pasuk is saying, a sone is a rodef as much as an oyev is a rodef. A rodef doesn't necessarily have to mean somebody who's going out with a gun, actively looking to hurt us. Somebody who hates us in his heart creates an environment which leads to Jews getting hurt. I mean, the truth is, unfortunately, this is very much a contemporary issue where, again, without elaborating too much, anti-Semitism in this country and in many countries takes two forms. You have the people who go shooting up shuls and, you know, terrorize Jewish people in a physical sense. But then you have the people who speak poorly about the Jewish people, and, you know, they never raise a hand to a Jewish person, but they create an environment which enables the people who then go and shoot up the shuls. In other words, to a large extent, the sonim create an environment which allows the oivim to prosper. So I think that's really the pasuk. Asher idafucha, don't think that the only rodfim are the oivim. The sonim are rodfim the same way that the oivim are rodfim as well, and perhaps even more so, because the oivim, you know, at least you know what you're dealing with. You know that they're a threat. Society, at least in America, you know, puts them at arm's distance. You know, if a guy goes and shoots up a shul, we understand. You know, American society as well is going to judge that person negatively, with the exception of a few people on the fringe. But, you know, when it becomes mainstream for people to speak poorly about the Jewish people, that becomes accepted in society. And, you know, it's not something which is on the fringes anymore. It's something which becomes mainstream. So that in many ways, is a more insidious kind of redifa, a more insidious kind of persecution, which is taking place. It is, I'm not doing anything, you know. Everyone's entitled to free speech, you know. Let me yell fire in the crowded theater. You know, everybody's entitled to their free speech, so let it be as it be. A few weeks ago, we noted in the Malbim's commentary on Nach that the Malbim has a somewhat similar distinction, just he does it with two different words in the Hebrew language. The Malbim speaks about the difference between a tsar and an oyev. Right? We know that Esther Amalko comments about Haman HaRasha, Ish tsar v'oyev Haman HaRa hazeh. Right? He's a tsar v'oyev. Tsar and oyev are both two words that mean enemy. So what do they mean? If he's an enemy and an enemy, he's a really bad enemy. So that's the Malbim writes, Tsar, you know, means somebody who besieges. In other words, he takes his enmity and he translates it into action. Oyev, according to the Malbim, means somebody who just has the hatred in his heart but doesn't necessarily act on it. Sometimes you can have an oyev without a tsar. In other words, he hates us but he doesn't act on it. Sometimes you can have a tsar without an oyev. In other words, somebody starts up with us, not because he hates us, you know, we just happen to be in the way. You know, it's nothing personal, just, you know, we're in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, I have nothing against you personally, I just want your wallet right now. You know, just, it would be very helpful to me if I were to take your wallet and, you know, here's a gun to help convince you that, you know, it would be helpful to me if I took your wallet. So you can have a tsar without an oyev, you can have an oyev without a tsar. Haman HaRasha was tsar v'oyev. He was taking actions to hurt us, and he hated us also. So that Malbim is somewhat similar to the Sfarno, but obviously not identical, especially because the terminology oyev is exactly the opposite in the Sfarno as it is in the Malbim, but it's the same kind of idea, that the different words for enemy in the Hebrew language carry different connotations. There's some enemies who act on their hatred, and there's some enemies who just possess the hatred but don't necessarily act on it. That's unfortunately, a very contemporary insight, which you see here in the Svarna. After the Pasuk describes how our enemies, our oivim and our sonim, are going to be punished, we read the following in Pasuk Ches. V'ato soshuv v'shomata b'kol Hashem. You will return and listen to the voice of Hashem. Now, I noted yesterday that the Parshas HaTshuva is chock full of some of different variants of the word Loshuv, you know, to return. I mean, Loshuv, Tshuva, clearly it's the same root. What's surprising over here is that the Pasuk says, V'ato Soshuv, which ordinarily I would translate means, and you will repent, you will do Tshuva, when at this point already in the Parshas HaTshuva, it seems like the Jewish people have already done Tshuva as much as is possible. Back in Pasuk Beis, it said, V'shavto ar Hashem Elokecha v'shomato b'kolo. You'll return to Hashem and listen to His voice. And then again, we had the Pasuk we referenced tonight, U'mol Hashem Elokecha s'levavcha v'yaslevav zarecha. Kodesh Baruch is going to circumcise your heart, which, again, the Ramban says explicitly, and the Sfarno seems to say this, means the Yetzer Hara is going to be taken away. So, what kind of Tshuva exists after that? We've done Tshuva. The Yetzer Hara has been taken away from us. And now you'll repent. What's left to do? What's this next chapter in repentance that hasn't happened to date? So Sfarno has a fascinating interpretation of this phrase, very, very different than I think what most of us would assume, indeed what most of Mefarshim seem to assume, in translating the Pasuk. Tonuach. V'ato soshuv, says the Sfarno, means, and you will be at peace. You will rest. You will rest? How does that fit into the words V'ato Soshuv? So he quotes the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Tesvav, Beshuva V'nachas. You'll come back to Eretz Yisrael, Beshuva V'nachas, in a state of peace and serenity. The word Nachas, Nachas means literally to rest. Like Noach, you know, you're at rest. Nachas voshuva are two synonyms for one another. Hence the translation of V'ato soshuv means you will be at peace. V'zebi higolos Mashiach tzidkenu achar avdan ha'umos. Says the Sfarno, when will we be at peace? When Mashiach reveals himself after the nations that have persecuted us will disappear. Klomar, that is to say, Hemo Yovedu, they will disappear. That was the last pasuk. Aloi Vecha v'al Sonecha Sheridofucha, the Oivim and the Sonim are going to be annihilated. V'ato Tamo B'shuva Vonachas, and you will stay where you are in Eretz Yisrael in peace and serenity. Shelo Yosef Lahagloscha, Hakadosh Baruch Hu will not exile you again. K'moshabir anovi, as we find in Apostolic Yirmiyahu, Perek Dalid, im toshuv Yisrael, elai toshuv v'lo sonud. You have the following Apostolic Yirmiyahu. If you return, Klal Yisrael, Hashem says to the Jewish people, elai soshuv, you will return to me. What does that mean? If you return, you return to me, as opposed to what? So the way the Sfarno seems to understand that pasuk, again, somewhat atypically, is as follows. If you repent, O Klal Yisrael, Eilai Soshuv, you'll come back to me in peace. The word Loshuv not only means to repent, but to achieve equilibrium, to achieve a kind of inner peace and stability that you didn't have before. So, just going back to the Psukim, it's not as if this pasuk is speaking about a new stage in tshuva. We've already described tshuva. Klal Yisrael have done tshuva. They've done the ultimate tshuva. B'shavto ad Hashem Elokecha, right? The way the Sfarno understands it. You've done tshuva out of totally altruistic motives. You want to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not looking to get anything out of it for yourself. You're doing it because it's the right thing. And Hashem has removed the Yetzer Hara. And now that all of that has happened, and the anti-Semites of the world have been wiped off the map, the atososhuv, now you can be at peace. Besides explaining the psukim, I think, as you know, we're going into Rosh Hashanah just in the next couple of days, it's a profound insight into the very idea of tshuva itself. The word tshuva, of course, means to return, and has the connotation of repenting. But now the Sfarno is bringing out for us that the word tshuva also has the connotation of being at peace, of finding one's equilibrium, of not being tense or nervous anymore. And that's really a profound insight into tshuva. In other words, when a person does tshuva, if they do it correctly, they should find inner peace and equilibrium. And that's the very word itself. It's repenting, it's coming back, and it's being at peace. Beshuva vonachas. You're at peace and tranquil through the process of tshuva. Now again, the process of tshuva itself may not be a peaceful, tranquil process. I mean, you know, a person's working on himself. A lot of ups and downs and a lot of disappointments and a lot of, you know, difficulties that the person may encounter. But at the end of the process, you'll feel at peace with yourself. That Svarno's not saying that in so many words. But once we understand that the word tshuva has that connotation, I think it just flows naturally from this idea. Then the pasuk continues in Ches, and here too we'll see with a few very, very short words, the Svarno opens up a way of looking at the pasuk that we probably never thought about before. I never thought about before. V'ato soshu v'shomato b'kol Hashem, and you will be at peace. V'shomato b'kol Hashem, when you listen to the voice of Hashem. V'yosiso eskol mitzvoso v'asher anochi mitzavcho hayom, and you will perform all of His mitzvos which I am commanding you today. It seems a little repetitive. I mean, throughout the parasha, it's been talking about, you know, you'll perform all of the mitzvos. What's being added over here? So, with three words, the Svarta opens up a new way of looking at this pasuk. Shelo techudash dos. That there will be no new religion. In other words, when Moshiach comes, we are going to observe all of the mitzvos which are being commanded today, i.e., in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. To put it somewhat differently, as per the famous formulation of the Rambam, Zos HaTorah Lo Tehei Mukhlefes. The Torah is not going to be exchanged or switched for any other form of Torah, even once Moshiach comes. Yosiso Eskol Mitzvos HaVashar Anochi Mitzavcho Hayom. When Moshiach comes, you'll perform all of the same mitzvos which I, Moshe Rabbeinu, am telling you to do nowadays. There's not going to be a single change in the mitzvos from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu till the time of Moshiach. Shelo techudash dos. There's not going to be a new religion that's going to be associated with the period of Moshiach Tzidkenu. Now, obviously, we can understand what the Svarno is referring to. The Svarno is living in Italy, where he's surrounded by people who are Christians, and, you know, the Christian position is there was the religion in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, but once the Messiah comes, whatever it happens to be, so then that changes everything. The Messianic era ushers in a new Torah, a new Halacha, and the Svarno, in so deftly, is pointing out that the psukim themselves, the pasuk itself, undercuts this Christian position that somehow the Torah is going to be changed, Rachmanu Litzlan, when Moshiach arrives. You know, just the word Hayom, the mitzvahs which I'm commanding you today, says Moshe Rabbeinu, are going to be the same mitzvahs that are going to be in force when Moshiach comes. Pasuk Tes, Vahosircha. Hashem Elokecha b'chol ma'aseh yodecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mosir you in all of your handiwork. The word lahosir means to leave over, yosir, something more. So what does it mean, vahosircha Hashem Elokecha b'chol ma'aseh yodecha? God's going to leave you over? So says the Svarno, no, that's not what it means. Yitain lecha hatzlacha yisera mikol hatzlacha kodemes. God is going to give you more success than you ever had in your history. The word vahosircha doesn't mean that He's going to leave you over like a remnant. Why would that be a bracha, to be left over as a remnant? I want to be leftovers. I want to be shirayim. You know, I don't want to be shirayim. Hosircha means He's going to give you yoser v'yoser. He's going to give you more and more. You're going to have more hatzlacha. You're going to have more success when Moshiach comes than anything you possibly could have imagined. B'fri vitnecha, b'fri v'hemtecha, b'fri admoscha l'tova, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you children, he's going to give you, he's going to increase your flocks, he's going to increase the produce of the land. Ki yoshuv Hashem losus olecho letov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to return. And here too as well, the Sfarno doesn't address it, but one wonders based on the previous translation of the Sfarno whether ki yoshuv Hashem should properly be translated Hashem will return, which is not clear what that means exactly, or better yet, Hashem will grant you peace, right? Yeshuva vonachas, ki yoshuv Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you, by the way, just another phrase we use, shuva vonachas, yishuv hadas, right? We talk about a person, you know, has tranquility of thought, you know, that term as well, yishuv hadas, also is related to lashuv and the idea of tshuva. Ki yoshuv Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant you peace, losus olecho letov, and he will rejoice over you for good things, kashir sos alavu secha, just as he rejoiced over your forefathers. What's the idea that this last phrase is bringing out? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rejoice over you just like he rejoiced over your forefathers. So writes the Sfarno, again, very succinctly, what the Pasuk is trying to say is as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have joy because of you, not because of anything that your forefathers did. He'll have joy in you for your own merits. Lo bischus avos, writes the Sfarno, not in the merit of your forefathers. He'll rejoice over you just as he rejoiced over your forefathers, but not because he rejoiced over your forefathers. He rejoiced over your forefathers because of what they did, right? Presumably the reference is to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy inherently with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, with the Avos, with the forefathers of the Jewish nation. So the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy intrinsically because of what they did, Kein Yosis Hashem Losus Olecho Letov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be joyous with you as well, intrinsically, because of your own merits, not because of the Schus Avos. You won't need the Schus Avos at this point. You'll be so complete in your own right that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look favorably upon you because you're you. V'zeh mipnei shetiyah tshuvascha b'chol lev v'chol nefesh. The reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have such incredible nachas from the Jewish people at this time is because your tshuva is going to be so complete. Again, that's what we saw before in the beginning of the parsha. V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, you will engage in tshuva for altruistic reasons, simply because you want to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and do His will. That tshuva is going to be so powerful, ba'ofen sha'avonos nechshavim kizchuyos. As the Gemara tells us in Yuma, that tshuva me'ava, tshuva from love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is essentially what's being described over here, allows the sins that a person has committed to be transformed into sources of merit for the person. So we're talking about a tshuva me'ava, which is on the highest level possible. V'tiyeh l'ratzon l'fanav k'mo shehayu avosecha. And you'll be just as pleasing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as your forefathers were. Again, in your own schus, in your own merit, not having to hold on to the coattails of your forefathers. No, you yourself intrinsically, are going to achieve that level.
Just as an aside, it says that in other words, all babies that have to be born will be born.
Right.
I don't know how long the Zman of Mashiach is either, but are they going to be babies born after Mashiach comes?
So the impression, the question is, are there going to be babies born after Mashiach comes? So the best answer to that question is Halavai will be Zocha and see. That's the best the answer to the question. Right. As the Pashtus and the Pasuk is Bifri Yivitnecha. Right. So the Pashtus and the Pasuk is there will be. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim that nature is not going to substantially change when Mashiach comes. So certainly the Rambam would agree that there are going to be children born after Mashiach comes. What does it mean? Ein Ben David Ba'ad Sheyichlu Neshamos Shebaguf. So again, what it could mean is that, you know, the neshamos are going to be depleted, but it doesn't necessarily mean people aren't going to be born. Again, if you work with the idea of Gilgal neshamos, you know, there's definitely a renewal of neshamos from one body to the next, so you can continue to have people born even after all of the neshamos, you know, have been depleted. It's just, you know, they're renewing and recycling the neshamos through the process of Gilgal neshamos. Again, that's an answer really based on total ignorance and just a shot in the dark as to, you know, how to put that together. But you're right. I mean, the pshat of the pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be mosir b'fri bitnecha is that, you know, we're still going to have brisin and pirin abens and kiddushim for girls being born, you know, even after Moshiach comes. So you have to reconcile that. I think maybe that's the way to reconcile that with the with the statement in the Gemara. Okay, so Be'ezus Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow. We'll take a look at the last little shtickle of Parshas Nitzavim, which, again, according to the Sfarno, we'll see also deals with the idea of tshuva, and that Be'ezus Hashem we will continue with tomorrow. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah.